Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Three power play goals by the Pittsburgh Penguins are the difference as the Caps lose their first of four games with their bitter rivals on rivalry night, 3-2. As the final score, as we welcome you in to this edition of our Capitals Face-Off podcast for Thursday morning, October 12th. I'm Rob Carlin. That's Alan May. And also joining us tonight, our show producer, Ryan Billy, as the Caps lose 3-2 and they went into this game. Their PK unit was outstanding, had given up one power play goal, and that was an overtime 4-on-3 power play. And then they just, Alan, too many penalties and then gave up a lot of dirty, ugly power play goals to a really good, effective, dirty, ugly team.
Yeah, well, you look at last season, the Caps had a penalty problem very early in the season. It actually seemed like it carried on a long, long time, and it's something that's affecting them right now. And I think this year, last year was kind of lazy. This year, I think it's because their other teams are playing them faster because of the defensive units that they're putting out there right now. And then tonight, Pittsburgh Penguins figured out a way to get pucks to the net and battle harder for their rebounds to score those three power play goals. So, and it's a bad combination right now. Too many penalties and then having a team figure out what your weakness may be in the penalty killing area. And right now it's throwing pucks at the front of the net. So the Caps have done a very good job through the first three games. It's a small sample size, but they were keeping teams to the perimeter, chasing pucks, not letting pucks get through to the front of the net. And Pittsburgh tonight found a way just to get quick pucks to the net and then crash, crash, crash.
We're going
to
talk about the great debut for Christian Juice, who becomes just the third Caps defenseman to ever score a goal in his NHL debut. Start thinking now who those other two are. We have the answer. See if you can come up with it. But, Billy, before we get you involved, you, like me, live in Annapolis, correct?
I do.
So we make that commute on 50 and the Beltway.
Every day. Yep.
Fairly miserable.
At times, for sure.
Coming to work kind of sucks.
Yep. Still waiting to get the chopper.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the chopper, but you know what we can get?
Ooh.
Our friends at Commuter Connections, because they offer commuters info and resources to improve commutes in the greater metropolitan D.C. area. Did you know ride sharing saves time and money, and most importantly for you and I, reduces your stress? We both have kids. There's a lot of stress.
A mountain's worth.
Yes, the benefits, the savings really adds up. You can immediately save at least half of your carpool. Help pay for kids' college. Keep talking. Retirement. Keep talking. Or your dream vacation. It's our friends at Commuter Connections. All helps make this Caps Face-Off podcast possible. All right, Billy, so Christian Juice last night. We talked about the PK.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Juice was tremendous. I mean, here's a kid who gets the lonely skate at the start of the game, and they let him go out there and take his lap around all by himself.
Always fun.
Always fun. Second time we've seen that already this year because Nathan Walker got the same treatment. And goes out there, and there's probably some nerves. The minutes are sort of in and out early in the game as they're letting him kind of feel his way. And then in the closing minute or so of the second period, from basically the Ovi spot, a one-timer, beats Matt Murray and becomes the third Caps defenseman, as I said, to score in his professional debut. The other two, Steve Popst.
Of course.
And Scott Stevens. So he joins a very select list. All in all, though, and the assist to Ovi, that's a hell of a debut against the Stanley Cup champs.
Not bad. And I think during training camp, a lot of us thought he would be there opening night. We all kind of thought he was, you know, out of all the young defensemen, he was going to be the one to make it. At times, you know, that's something that we were hearing. And I was excited to see him because they talked about how, you know, smart he was and you know, Troy Mann called him sort of a Nicholas Backstrom type on the back end. So that was exciting to see. So, yeah, his debut was probably a little bit later than maybe some of us thought. But I thought overall, I couldn't ask, just like Nathan Walker, you couldn't ask for a better debut for him outside of a win, right? I mean, that was a big goal he scored. I mean, that wasn't just a kid who scored a goal. That was a big goal part of the game. I mean, it, as you said, I think a couple of times, it added some juice into the building.
It did. You called him the
juice box hero. I'm excited. I hope he stays up all year because the puns are just potential.
The juice was loose.
The potential is limitless.
Yeah, the juice box hero. Look, Alan, we'll, you know, either you or certainly the coaches, Matt Niskanen, I know, spoke highly of him, will have time to dissect how he played defensively because ultimately that's what he's here for. But as far as offense goes, he pounds a shot past, you know, a world-class goalie on a one-timer, and then the hands, the stick work in tight areas and the quick movements to set up Ovi in front of the net was really something you don't see from too many defensemen chipping forward.
You know, with the really good players, you don't even call that hands. It's more about poise and just poise, and that's the difference between certain guys. And I won't throw anyone under the bus, but say there's
three or four other. Since when do you not throw?
No, I just don't want to jump all over people and trying to identify what he does well. But say the Caps have four other defensemen of their seven guys that wouldn't be able to react in that way. You know, every once in a while, but Juice shows that that's what he does. We saw him in the one preseason game that he really played with the puck. You know, it was his third game before he felt confident. And I understand that because there's a little too much pressure on him going into this training camp, everyone finally talking about him or maybe for the first time talking about him being on the roster. And you look at that, and he put an undue amount of pressure on himself. But that third game, he really started to move the puck well, started to carry it. But what I did notice is that how every time he moves the puck, it's a lot like Kuznetsov and Backstrom, and is that it's a nice, flat, workable pass. And, you know, I would like to see this guy because of his poise. Right now, you're playing John Carlson way too many minutes. He's going to be dead by the time the 10th game rolls around. You know, and I've said this before. He does
26 and a half minutes.
He does, and he gets fatigued. I think he, and this isn't the fault, John, but he gets fatigued. I've noticed in the past when they were leaning on him too much at 27, 28 minutes, and he was a guy that would struggle in those extended playoff overtimes because, you know, he has to work to be a skater. He's not a fluid skater. He's a good skater, but he's got to work at it. And maybe giving Juice those minutes because, you know, that one spot that really needs some nice passes to Ovechkin is that D part. So Ovi isn't able, you know, right now he's not getting that slap shot one-timer on the power play. He's having to reach back on the wrist shot. And, you know, Juice might be the remedy for that in the short term to give some guys some rest. And, you know, the coaches were talking about how fatigued the guys were in Tampa. Well, they weren't playing anyone. They played the hell out of the first four guys. So put these younger guys and put them in roles where they can get more ice time, and it's not going to hurt the team defensively. And until we figure out how good Juice is in the defensive zone, give him that PP time, get him extra, and maybe John Carlson can help out that second power play unit if it even gets there again, because these guys are good enough that the first minute of this power play with all these guys, they should be able to bury teams. And Pittsburgh did a great job tonight of forcing pressure, but eventually the Caps started moving that puck around very well on the power play. And it was just a few miscues on getting shots off where they didn't get the puck towards the front of the net.
And we saw that last year before Kevin Shattenkirk came here. Mm-hmm. Ovi searching for those passes, and John Carlson's a wonderful offensive talent as a defenseman and a very good player for this team for a long time. But he really hadn't seen that since Mike Green, that consistent pass right on the stick until Kevin Shattenkirk got here. So, you know, maybe Juice is that guy.
The timing is so important for Ovi, right? I mean, we see it time and time again. If that pass is a little off here or there, it totally changes.
Or if you telegraph it. And,
right.
And then the goalie is just standing there waiting.
Right.
And if they at the right angle, Ovi can't hit a spot. You know, if they come out and they're a little too low in their crease, even though the guy cheats, Ovi can still put it through. And we've seen that time and time again. But when they're able to cheat on that one-timer and it's not where it is, it's not getting there consistently, you know, that's something that hurts this team on the power play because, you know, the number one guy they want shooting the puck is Ovechkin.
Tarik El-Bashir just quoted, just tweeted out a quote from Barry Trotz talking about Juice. His IQ is really good, but it's a process. It's one game. We'll be patient. But his first game was real good. I mean, again, if you're a coaching staff, if you're a fan, if you're us broadcasting the game, couldn't have been much better, because as the game went along, like you said, that poise started to show. So whatever, you know, butterflies were there early.
You get rid of the noise. Like late in the game, all of a sudden you're chasing a win, so you quit overthinking things. And the hardest part for every young player, usually, you know, they come in, they're really intense at the first 3 weeks of the season, but then they start to normalize. They start to feel comfortable. They start to think about other things. And it's usually at that point, you know, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of distraction. So in a game like this, it's perfect. He's just going hard, trying to help his team win the game, and starts to be more of who his reactive self is on the ice. And, you know, rather than second-guessing and sitting back, I'd rather see an offensive player play offensive and not worry about sitting back and worrying about making mistakes.
Probably no coincidence that they picked this game. And they could have done it Friday, right? At the Devils, probably, you know, the crowd sort of, eh. You know, they didn't have to put them into an amped-up situation, and yet they did. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of throwing people into the fire. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Just go do it and see how, you know, sink or swim. And I think he swam him.
Yeah, I mean, throwing into the fire up against the Stanley Cup champs at home, yeah, on a national TV broadcast.
Exactly.
And he held his own. So good to see from Christian Juice. What was not good to see, and we mentioned this, was all the penalties. And the one that really got me, that really changes the game, is Juice scores his goal in the last minute or so of the second period. Another pun. Correct. Gets the juice back into the building.
Here we go.
Because all of a sudden the crowd's into it now. And then Chiasson gets a penalty at the end of the period. I'm still writing down the information for the juice goal, and Chiasson gets that late penalty. And then, Alan, we start the third period, and what, 20 some odd seconds into the third period, Connor Sheary, another ugly goal in front, and from 2-1 momentum shifting the Caps way to down 3-1 and really having to chase.
You know what? The team has a lot of areas that has to work on. It's going to be a work in progress. There are so many key players that aren't here anymore, and, you know, they've got to figure out how to play the game. So right now, we're seeing large inconsistencies in their game.
But Chiasson's a vet.
Yep.
He's been around.
But you're seeing guys in the third and fourth line that nothing's clicking right now in those two areas. And so their legs aren't moving. They're not getting consistent ice. With all the penalties, you're taking a flow out of the game. I didn't like the penalty at all. I didn't like, you know, what he did there. But we're going to see a lot of that through the first month of the season, until either the refs figure out what is a call and the players have to figure it out. But, you know, the one on Chiasson, 100% a call, no matter what the rules are. You don't want to see that. But you know what? We've seen almost every player on this team's taken a penalty so far. And,
yeah.
So it's like all of a sudden everyone was drawing conclusions on Ness that he can't play the game because he had four penalties in the first three games. So, you know, it's a small sample size of what it is right now, but there's so much area for improvement. And, you know, this is how guys learn. You know, the preseason was a joke because you see the effort that veterans put in on every team in the league pretty much. You see the refereeing caught everyone by surprise. So I think now, because training camp, there's no emphasis on those preseason games to play well. Other than if you're a rookie on the bubble, is that you have to get through the first month of the season. It's kind of like the preseason now, but it's not. So, and then if you're not in the playoffs by Thanksgiving, you know, that third week, fourth week of November, you're done. You know, usually, historically, you're done for the season. So, you know, these guys all have to figure out what they're going to have to do. So even the guys who are playing those third, fourth line minutes and that are on second unit power play, or you know, they don't get a kill penalties, they're going to have to figure out how to get their games going with a really static type of ice time.
And it's interesting because Smith-Pelly has been impressive on the PK unit.
Yep.
Notwithstanding the three goals last night. Lars Eller has been very good on the PK unit. But those guys, eventually, like we saw in the playoffs, the third and fourth line have to chip in and get you some offense, too.
And you're not giving them a chance to be successful the whole time they're going to be on the PK. Alan, for you, how many slashes did we see tonight? How many slashes did we see, and how many slashes that should have been penalized? I think there's a difference.
Yeah, there were. You look at the penalties for what they were calling originally, and hardly any of those were slashing penalties. And then you saw what they were letting going in the third period. And John Carlson should have had two on the same. You know, they would have called the first one, but he'd had two blatant stick swinging infractions where there were chops. Not they didn't hurt the guy. But the motion and the contact from each side, he did one on his backhand and one on his forehand on the same break when Hagelin, and there's no call. That drives me crazy.
Allen was apoplectic. Like, he was losing his mind in the room watching the game. I mean, it was two-handed full swing chops and nothing.
And
it's like I said on the show, it's like an umpire. You just want consistency.
Right.
Let me know what the call is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple in there that were tickles. They were tickles. They were penalized. What are they going to do? And you know, if they figure it out now, I think Emmerich said it on the call. They spend October figuring it out, and then everyone will sort of settle into what these are going to be. I think you can live with that. But if this is going to be as inconsistent as it has been so far through the season, can you imagine as we get to April and the game turns on something like that?
Yeah, it's exactly what you don't want. So the Penguins get the win 3-2, the final score. Chris Letang scores his first goal since February 4th as he makes his way back from that injury that cost him most of the season last year. Patrick Hornquist comes back. Man, what a pain in the backside of the Caps that dude is. Mike Sullivan called him, I forget what he said, he was like a big moment player or something like that. I mean,
you know,
my
biggest thing is that, you know, Caps fans hate him, and you look at the amount of
high stakes player.
But he plays the simplest hockey game there is. You take the video from this guy, you show it to your players and say, I want you to play right wing like this, because he's not using his talent or his skills. He's using hard work, effort, determination, and simplicity to play his game. And you look at all the junk that he scores on this team. It's always at the crease. Didn't he score the Stanley Cup game winners?
He scored the insurance goals on, I think, in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And he definitely scored the insurance goals.
He junks it up, man. And he gets to the net and all three of their goals tonight. That's what drives me crazy about playing the Penguins. You know, they do it. Why don't you do it? And we're seeing, you know, Columbus added that to their arsenal last year. And they should have beat Pittsburgh in the first round. The way they stormed the net,
that would have been nice.
But they didn't have the finishers. Whereas, you know, Pittsburgh has more finish, and it's unbelievable. So now, what does Columbus go out and do this year? They go and add finishers. They got Sonny Milano, who's a wizard with the puck out of the AHL, and they're gonna have to live with some of his horrible defensive plays. He still hasn't figured that part out. Panarin. They get him because they want more of a different type of goal scorer than Saad was for them, and Saad wasn't a good fit in Columbus. He's a great, perfect fit back in Chicago again, playing on Jonathan Toews' wing. But you look, that's what teams, you've got to score the junk around the net because perimeter doesn't work, pretty doesn't work, and I'm going to say that about 78 more times the rest of this season. You got to get the junk. Oh, Ovechkin's about the only guy that can throw darts at the net from out far.
Yeah, typically, when you say about a guy, I hate that guy.
He plays that style.
Yeah, but the guy that you hate, you would murder to have on your own team.
Yeah.
You want.
Well, look at
like
Chris
that.
Kunitz the other night.
Sure.
How many times do you see Chris Kunitz score that goal? Or he's standing there, there's a slap shot top shelf, and he's standing in front of Holtby, usually Holtby, and the other night it was Grubauer, and it goes, you know, crossbar and in. Or if it's a low shot, he's finding the junk. So, you know what? Emulate those guys that have success. And you know, I'd be watching videos, not of the guys on your team, no slight, it's not a Caps thing. It's that when you see guys doing a good thing out there, like no one can be Connor McDavid, but you can all be Kunitz. You could all be a guy like a Hornquist.
That's a great
point. Saw Sheary's goal tonight. Like Sidney Crosby's making household names out of these little guys that no one's ever heard of.
Well, it's funny because when Hornquist scored, you said that's the most Hornquist goal ever.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Tom Gallitti on Twitter, the way he summed up that play was, Crosby throws it in front, off of Kunackle, scramble, Holtby falls down, Hornquist puts it past him. I mean, if that doesn't sum up the Penguins-Capitals rivalry, nothing. Throw a puck on net,
that is like,
see what happens, and odds are something bad tends to happen against the Caps, and then a guy like Hornquist puts in the goal.
What is the John Gruden play, the spider-wide banana?
Right.
That's the Penguins spider-wide banana.
Is it three-wide banana?
Whatever it is. That's it. That's the
recipe. Throw it on net. Yeah. And so now the Caps go out for a quick two-game road trip on the road at New Jersey Friday night, then at Philadelphia Saturday night. And, Alan, you keep talking about it, and you watch these highlights and all these different explosive players that the Devils had. Will Butcher, Nico Hischier, the number one overall pick. I mean, they've got a lot of skill, and that is a tough game now.
But you know what? They've They've got rid of all the older, slower players. It was a process of buyouts, forcing guys to retire, trading players. And now they've got this roster where every forward is dynamite. And guys that have been accomplished scorers at different levels, just elite skating. And you look at the lines. They've got Jesper Bratt. No one even heard of this guy. He's living with his mom in New Jersey.
Nothing wrong with that.
And
mom in Jersey. Nothing wrong with that.
You know, but you look at, they've got all these young guys, healthy Taylor Hall. And it's like one of their old vets is Marcus Johansson. That's how young that team is. Marcus Johansson's like an old guy over there. And he's only 26 years old, I think. So you look at the amount of skating ability they have. They're taking advantage of the new rules. They've got an incredible young coach in John Hines. And, you know, last year they had a lot of injuries. And they're finally getting defensemen in places they want. They're able to sit out some of their older defensemen for these new young guys that have incredible wheels. They're moving the puck. And the key to not playing defense in your zone, Nate Schmidt, I used to love this about him. You know, he goes, I'm not the greatest defensively, so I want to carry the puck out of the zone as fast as I can. Then it's not in there. The best way to play D is not to be there. And, you know, right now they're on the attack all the time. And when you have the puck, they're hunting you down as fast as they can, trying to steal the puck, pick your pocket, and go back the other day with other way with a great deal of speed.
So the Devils are 3-0-0 early on in the season. It'll be a tough test Friday night. It's on NBC Sports Washington, 7 o'clock faceoff. So we'll our night starts with Caps faceoff at 6 o'clock.
Correct.
We're on the air at 6:30. Correct. And then the game at 7 and all the postgame and all that. Before we get out of here, can we talk about the thing that Alan wants to talk about the most? Steven Strasburg tonight?
Oh, yeah.
I know you've got the tickets to the game and you're going, Alan. But I'll tell you what, through all the, I mean, if the last 24 hours wasn't a microcosm of what reporting and journalism is in 2017, like a little nugget of a weird thing that Dusty Baker said creates a firestorm of, and I'm guilty of being very harsh on Strasburg going back to the shutdown of 2012. But this thing gets out of control.
Well, it's a
and he wakes up and he's okay.
I would have put big money with both of you guys at Strasburg was as soon as yesterday.
I would have taken that bet because I thought he was soft until this game.
You know what? There's the way Dusty answered that, and I'm not going to say I was right, but I just had you don't play all your cards. You don't tip your hat.
But I think you're wrong in your process of thinking. I don't think Dusty was slow playing that.
You know what? But that's,
I think he was as confused as anyone.
And I think everyone's just, you know, coming up with these things. But you got to go with the money. And that's the hardest decisions and the how you win in the playoffs. If you got to make tough decisions. I look at last year. I'll go back to switch back to hockey for a little bit. But Mike Sullivan sitting out players in the playoffs that were a little bit hurt because they couldn't give him 100 and giving these AHLers a chance. But I look, when it comes down to it, who do you want? You want your money guy. And so Strasburg's the guy that's, you know, he was supposed to be the franchise years ago. He didn't get a play in the last playoffs, and I thought he should have been playing. And I think you have to play when it's there because it's so hard to get here. You got to go with your horses.
I would say it's a microcosm of what DC sports is because something that should be so simple, right? You find out it's going to rain. Okay, Strasburg pitches. Awesome. It all works out. And it wasn't that way, right? And it ended up being that way, but how we got there was so agonizing and like just spent all day scratching your head. The only thing non-DC sports about it was
that he came out and dominated.
He was nails.
He was nails.
He was huge.
I mean, absolutely shut down nails in that game.
And it is amazing because they got up 1-0 and you're waiting for the shoe to drop. And you're like, oh, when's it coming?
Right. So now the DC thing would be.
La, la, la.
La, 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 la.
This is where social media absolutely sucks because, you know, people just.
No
put,
way. It was thrilling.
No, but
there was a rainout. We had Strasburg drama.
No, the 24 hours of garbage and the personal attacks on people. You know, that's what drives me crazy is the personal. Like, these guys are bad humans because there's a little indecision and there's some drama.
They're not.
Oh, exactly. And you know what? But I just think it's unfair, and no one ever recants anything. And I'm going to have to talk to our boy Grant for almost jumping off the cliff or you know, going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. And, you know,
his lineup? About Dusty's lineup?
No, he just, you know what? There's thousands of games of baseball experience for Dusty Baker. These other guys, Joe Maddon, he's got championships and experience, but you know what? You've got to let these things play out.
It's sort of like the Redskins, though. the Nats bring a lot of this stuff on themselves with the way they deal with it.
Or people Dusty just Baker, overreact.
But Dusty Baker going out there and being like, well, he's a little bit under the weather because there's mold in the five-star hotel.
The old mold.
And the air conditioning's up too high.
They had to move hotels.
And it's we're getting
well, they
all.
They had to move hotels to move because hotels. They checked. But they checked out because they were supposed. Yesterday, they had to because
the
they already checked
them out.
No, they already had to check out of their hotel because they were playing.
Right, and they were going
to. So, and then they expected to play the game, so they had to find a hotel. They weren't kicked out.
They were at the Red Roof.
They were just nice.
Very nice.
Hey, and if they were, they should go back because it worked. But they don't have to. And hopefully they win tomorrow and they're on to another dramatic series.
Do I smell a Nationals podcast?
Is this a hit? Have we pivoted? Have we pivoted to a Nationals podcast?
I'm going to live tweet during the game just to piss everyone off. So not like everyone's watching the game.
I would love that. Live tweet so we have some proof of what you're saying. You can't just go back and say.
I'll be taking pictures of me drinking a Port City.
We don't want live tweet. Actually, you know what? Live tweeting of what Alan's doing during the game. I could watch the game.
I could watch the game.
Knowing what Alan's doing during the game.
The comments I make during the game, they're awesome. I look around between every pitch.
I'm the most humble guy there is.
Do we smell the Nat? I know our new Nats insider here, Alan May.
No, I'm just going to live tweet to annoy the hell out of everyone because it's not like we're not all watching anyways. Everyone that's interested in the game will be watching the game.
The comments I make. They're awesome.
They're all awesome.
But
I would have bet you $1 million that Strasburg would have been pitching. I was the one guy. You know why? Because all my thoughts are awesome.
No, it's not. I'm just saying what I say about the people in the stands. The person that walks by in the red pants. You know, things like that. They're pretty good.
Santa Claus?
I would call a guy. I go, Santa Claus. Hey. I'm good this year.
Come make a delivery. I've been a good boy. All right, on that note, before this gets off the rails, let's wrap things up. Again, two games on the road, Friday night in Jersey, Saturday night in Philadelphia. I guess the plan is, though, Friday night after the game, another Caps Face-Off podcast, because that's what we do. So for Ryan Billy and Alan May, I'm Rob Carlin. We'll see you next time.